There's always something on the horizon. New changes. New challenges. And new opportunities. Skype for Business is changing the way IT delivers voice and video communications. You'll have a new way to deploy and scale communications for your entire organization.
Did you see that they moved the broadcast up to tonight?
Yeah, I saw it. Shouldn't be an issue. Our network's prepared for it. I do want to check out this uptick in Northeast mobile traffic. All right, I'm going to have Help Desk keep an eye on this one.
The power to see the full picture, from the entire business to a single user.
Looks like adding new users there last week has increased their call volumes.
Yeah, let's make sure we right-size that segment.
To harness unified communications data and insights to keep your business on the leading edge. Imagine being backed by the world's largest enterprise cloud, from public cloud to hybrid solutions, with Microsoft as an extension of your IT. Your connection to the entire world, always on. Your communications at the highest quality. You'll be able to open a new office halfway across the world without ever getting on a plane. Provision thousands of new users and devices easily, and get them all working in no time. All while spending less time managing your deployment. It comes down to greater visibility and control. With the world's largest enterprise cloud supporting you, data will become insights. Insights will become action.
Hey guys.
How is the New York site doing?
Show me site utilization for New York.
Who are our heaviest users?
Sort by role.
Can I get a copy of that?
Of course.
Action will become the way you meet new challenges on the horizon.
Welcome, Sydney. Thank you for joining us. Shall we jump right in?
And empower your business to do more.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Glad to be here. I'm Anton Kranz. I'm Group Program Manager in Redmond for Skype for Business. And one of the reasons I'm actually very glad to be here is that was my front lawn a week ago in Seattle. So much better to be here in the warm weather than back there right now. But I'm also glad to be here to talk to you about Skype for Business and the IT Pro and management and administration of it in particular, because that's the area of my focus. And the area that's really critical to get right and to be able to have the right tools to manage, to deploy, and to make sure you've got a handle on what's going on in your deployment and what your user experience is like. So I'm going to cover our IT Pro approach and go through the life cycle, look at the product updates we've had over the last year, and give you an insight into what's coming, as well as hopefully spend quite a bit of time on demos. This is intending to be more of a demo-rich session than just a talking session. And then we'll be talking about our partners as well who help augment Skype for Business and have one of them come and demo as well. So that video that you saw was a video that we did to really outline what the vision of Skype for Business IT Pro is, to give you a direction of more of longer-term thinking of things that we are working on now that we will be bringing to market over the next year, 18 months is the sort of time frame you should be thinking about there, but really giving an idea of what our North Star is for management and administration. And the vision that we have to encapsulate this talks about empowering the IT pro to deliver business value by enabling them to onboard, manage, and drive engagement of Skype for Business, really across that whole life cycle. As a mission-critical service they can bet their job on, because increasingly that's what a lot of IT professionals are now doing, as I'm sure many of you, either as customers or as service providers to customers, you're placing a lot of trust in the service, and that's something that's important for us to ensure that we're providing you adequate tools to manage, as well as to show your company what benefit you're deriving from them, and of course to manage service very effectively. So in looking at that, we think about the IT Pro lifecycle as an end-to-end lifecycle, all the way from the decide phase where you determine what unified communication service you want, what productivity service you want. And once you've done that, really being able to have tools to plan, assessing your deployment, sizing the correct network, whether it's network or devices or bandwidth and so on that you need. settings for your users, what policies you want to enable them, what controls you want to have for what users can do to help them get their work done. To a point where you have deployment readiness, and then you can go into the deliver phase where you actually do the setup and the configuration, onboarding and deploying users to get to the point where you have first usage. And from there, going into the operate phase, which is where we spend the bulk of our time as IT professionals to monitor, support, and manage the service, run it at effective service levels. Think about that as managing the efficiency or the total cost of ownership of the service, and that's critical. Once you've done that, however, what's really critical is to be able to optimize that service. It's not just operating a service for the lowest unit cost. It's also being making sure that your users are productive, that they're getting benefits, that whether the productivity gains that they're getting, the cost savings that you're getting, that you can actually maximize your return on investment, not only by using the workloads more, but by also using more workloads as they become available. An example there being if you've bought the product or subscribed to the product for PSTN calling, to be able to onboard meeting broadcast, because that also helps you be more productive and scale out and have large-scale meetings, to be able to onboard to PSTN conferencing, because that also helps you support your users with their needs for dial-in conferencing and so on. So that optimized phase is as important as once you've tuned the service to the maximum product, to the maximum efficiency, to actually be able to derive maximum productivity as well. So we've worked quite a bit in the products team over the last year in this area, and just wanted to cover here really the product updates over the last year or so across the life cycle. As you can see there, we've spent a lot of time in the plan, deliver, and operate phases. Tools that we've delivered there help you with bandwidth planning, because that's important to onboard to Skype for Business, to be able to know what your network requirements are, to be able to have sufficient and efficient bandwidth. We've also launched a network assessment tool so that you can see for all of your sites what the latencies are, what the network round trips are, all settings related to packet efficiency, so that you know before deploying a voice service to your users that you have the right network for that. In the deliver phase, we've invested heavily in configuration and enabling flexible configuration for all your users. If you use Skype for Business on-premise, you can choose any policies you want, and you can choose any settings you want for those policies. In Skype for Business Online, it had been the case that you needed to pick from a menu of policies that we had. And with custom policy, we've now enabled the flexibility that you can choose client settings, conference settings, all for your users depending on their needs, and that you don't have to rely on us having a so-called CAN policy for you. You can choose whichever settings work for your company. We're also doing work in enabling role-based access control. So currently, the Skype for Business Administrator is a global role. Being able to support various specific roles so that those users, those administrators, only have access to the functionality that they need and not to anything else is an area that we've started and will increasingly do work there as well. For example, in supporting the help desk role, and I'll show that to you in a little while as well. In the operate phase, again, where you need a lot of tools in the online environment, in Skype for Business Online, to be able to see service quality and reliability, we have a tool called Quality Dashboard and CQD Online that has been released last year. We're increasingly adding functionality to that, such as location enhanced reports that I'll show. We're also working to make the data available in our service to you so that you can access it programmatically or via scripts, for example, getting access to all of the call detail data for online via PowerShell. So in the on-premise world, as I mentioned, customers have access to all of the servers, therefore you have access to all of the data. It may not be the easiest to get to, depending on your knowledge of SQL Server analysis services, your familiarity with SQL to run your own queries and write your own reports. But what we've done is to provide that information in the online environment as well via PowerShell so that you can get to it easily. And in the optimized phase, we've delivered call usage reports and PSTN reports, so that if you use our PSTN calling service, you can see the billing type reports that you would expect from your carrier when we're providing you that service. On the upcoming row there, as I mentioned, our ongoing work in the deliver and the operate phases to be able to support policies at a regional level through country scoping, through regions, by supporting multinational, multi-regional services. I know that that's something that's of interest to a lot of your our Australian customers here, to be able to support that Asia-Pacific region, and we'll be doing work there. And we'll also be enhancing our admin portal for Skype for Business online to be able to provide more integrated workflows, and I'll show you an early preview as one of the workloads lights up there on how that's looking. And in the operate phase, looking at the upcoming features, we've called what we're calling call analytics that I'll show you to show call detail for online and role-based access to call detail information so that for your online users, you can support the critical help desk functionality of what to do when users do call help desk. Do you have insight into that information? In CQD Online, we're enhancing the views there so that for proactively managing your deployment before users call help desk, can the service managers see what's going on and be able to deal with it proactively, see the right aggregate reports, not only take action on them, but also show that information to your management so that they can see how service reliability is progressing. I talked about multi-regional support, so being able to support global deployments, which again I'm hearing increasingly is a popular scenario here where you may either be a region of a global company or as much if not more so, a company that has global footprint elsewhere outside the continent. So being able to have multi-regional support so your users have optimal experiences wherever they are also requires an administration experience that lets you administer policies on those regions, and that's work that we're doing in the next year. We also have dial plans, so when you use the PSTN calling service, being able to control the dial plans of your users to set which ones can do international dialing or not, to be able to do number normalization, making that functionality available in the portal. It already exists in PowerShell. And then increasingly, as I was talking about, making the data available. So we're investing in the Graph API so that you can not only see the information I'm showing you, I'm about to demo you here, in our admin portals, but over the next year, you'll be able to get access to it as well to run your own reports, to integrate into your own reporting tools, and so forth. So one of the big areas that we've invested in is around call quality management. For Skype for Business and Skype for Business Online now, being able to manage call quality online is increasingly critical. And we have a family of products that we're working on, starting to preview now, some have already shipped, that we're calling advanced analytics that will address the needs of all of the service managers who are involved in this area. Going all the way from people who field help desk calls to the voice experts who are looking at the technology on a more systemic basis, in a more aggregate way, in a more proactive way, and looking for patterns and looking to find issues before they occur and looking to tune things so that they can make sure that the service levels are at optimal values before users start to use the service so that they do have a good service when they do. And Call Quality Dashboard, or CQD, is the tool for proactively managing systemic call quality. Based on aggregate data that is scrubbed of personally identifiable information, because to look at call quality on a systemic basis, it's not so much the individual user having the call, but it's the aggregate of what's going on in the network, what's going on in the site, how can you look at that, and how can you tune that effectively? How can you also work with partners who have some very specific domain expertise that you'll hear about in a little bit to be able to effectively manage call quality? And then call analytics, which is something that we've got in preview in the US now and is going to increasingly go roll out worldwide this quarter. But that role of help desk and being able to support individual help desk calls is really critical. It's not so much that there should be a lot of these calls, and over time, as you manage the network more effectively, as you manage systemic call quality more effectively, we expect, and we've already observed in quite a few customer sites, that you'll have less and less of these. But for anyone wanting to onboard to the service, it's just a critical requirement that you need a solution for, and that's why we've invested in call analytics for help desk scenarios. So as I mentioned, we're previewing that in early 2017. We're actually this quarter in the preview phase and planning on making it generally available in the first half of 2017. Not just the help desk scenario, but also some usage reporting that I'll show you in a bit. And if I can switch to the demo machine, I'll show you a few of those. So my machine just went to sleep. Windows Hello is trying to recognize me. And I'll just sign in with PIN. If we can switch to my demo machine. Thank you. So here you're looking at call analytics. And what it's doing is it's actually looking at the Microsoft, what we call our corp to cloud deployment. There are about 40,000 users worldwide in Microsoft on this deployment. And we're looking at usage data for all of that, all based on actual call traffic in Skype for Business Online. So every call generates what we call a call detail record, a CDR, and it generates quality information called QoE, quality of experience. Using that information, we can do a whole host of reporting, and that's actually what I'm showing you here with call analytics. So I can show for the voice workload, overview of calls in the last 24 hours, 30 days, this year, how many were unanswered, how many were voice or video, how many users were using the service. We can also see who the most active users were, and these are all voicemail accounts and so on, so it'll be a while before we get to an actual user making 6,000 calls, but they will be lower down in the list. You can also see most dialed numbers, longest calls, and so on. And again, this is based on me having a role that allows me to access this information. If I were a tier one help desk who did not have access to personally identifiable information like this, I may not see it. If I were an aggregate Office 365 admin, not specifically for Skype for Business, you could choose whether to allow that person to see this information or not. We're obviously very sensitive to making sure that privacy is protected, that we're bounded by compliance boundaries, such as in various regions. If you're in Germany, only the German admins can see this, and the US admins cannot. All of that is taken care of in the role-based access. What I can also do is see a useful view, which is a voice time of day heat stamp. So what we can heat map. So what we can see here is when the busy hours are in the service, and you can see around noon, this is Seattle time, around noon, and which is looking like 4 a.m. the following day, Australian time. That's why my browser's running in the local time zone. But trust me when I say that that's normally noon Redmond time. And in the middle of the week, we can see when our service is the busiest. That's useful not only to see for its own sake, but also to make sure that we've got the network sized to handle the busy hours that we have, so that at peak loads, users are getting the right experience. Another view that's useful is to see an overview of calls by network type. As we know, call quality is very much driven by the network that you're running the call on. If I'm sitting at my desk on my wired network calling another user on a wired network, call quality is going to be much more reliable than if I'm sitting at a Starbucks over a Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi network, or in an airport where we have no control over the actual network quality there, and you would expect to see that call rates are, or call quality rates are different then. So what I can see here is the total calls by scenario. Majority of ours are wired to wired, followed by wired to PSTN, and then we'll see Wi-Fi as well at about 10%. But I can also see the quality ratings and how they change. So most of the wired calls at 70% are rated good. The PSTN calls at 21%. And for the 10% of Wi-Fi calls that we have, we can see that 7% of them are rated good. So this helps you as a service manager see very quickly what's going on and how usage is varying by scenario, as well as how quality is varying by scenario. Very important as service managers to be able to have access to that information, not so much just the fact that the information is there because it is, but how do you find the needles in the haystack to know what to go and focus on. What we also have is a similar view for the meetings workload. This is the online meetings as well as the PSTN conferencing. I can see similar statistics on how many meetings, how many participants, were there any failed join attempts, not too many, so that's looking good. How many were audio meetings, how many had video, chat and app sharing and so forth. And again, I can also see the time of day heat map for when are the busy hours in the service. And you can see it varies a little bit compared to the voice workload, but largely similar. Again, also being able to see the most active departments. And that's important to be able to see not only who's using the service a lot so that you can make sure that you're focusing your service quality efforts on them, as well as figuring out what they're doing that can help you roll out the service to other departments who may not be getting the same usage out of it, because generally they may have found some best practices that are worth rolling out. So that's one view. And then another view is distribution of participants by meeting, number of participants per meeting. The majority of them are under five, as you would expect, and then there are a few that that go out to more users. So these are examples of reports. There are many more, and there are many more that you can build, but this is intending to show the fact that having that data and being able to visualize it easily helps us show these views that can help you see what's going on by whatever dimension it is that you need to be looking at, because different admins have different reasons or different areas of interest. So that's looking at the workloads, calling, and meetings. Another view that's important is to look at how the calls are varying or what traffic is going on by various network segments as well as sites. So we support site maps that we can use for call quality dashboard as well as for call analytics. And we've uploaded the sitemap for Microsoft here. There are about 3,000 sites worldwide that you saw there on the map. And as long as we have mapping of subnets and physical sites, we can start to look at reporting like this, which is to say, in a particular site, in this case, this is Building 10 at Redmond, what are you able to see in terms of load of average calls per day? How many of them are voice? How many of them are video? And also look at some of your graphs by workload. So whether it's voice or meetings. And you can see here concurrent call loads, what the quality rating is like as those call loads are happening. And this helps you as a service manager, again, if you're focused on providing service for that area in particular and that's your role, then that's a great view that you can use to see what's happening. So there's more visualizations there. We're working to bring them to preview and to GA in varying phases over the current year, and you'll start to see some of that showing up in the Skype for Business Admin portal as it's rolled out to various regions. The other scenario I talked about was the help desk case. So if I have a user who calls and wants to ask about a call quality issue they may have had, then being able to look them up, find them, see all their calls, when they happened, how long ago they were, who were they from and to. In these cases, a lot of these are meetings. Some of them are PSTN. And what we could tell from an experience perspective, what can the system tell based on all of that CDR and QoE data as to whether these were what we would call good calls or poor calls. In this case, these are meetings. And I'll just drill into one here where we can see that... And this is a common scenario that happens in meetings where you have multiple participants. The call may be fine for a lot of people on the call, but somebody may say, I had a bad experience or I heard something that was bad. How can we look into what was going on? And very often, it's not actually the person who's reporting the issue. In this case, that'll actually show us. It'll show us all the participants who were here. Did we detect any issues? We actually did for this participant here. And we could look at that session information to find out what it was. And this was, in fact, a drop call. So that's why we flagged it as poor. As I mentioned, this is currently in preview. We're probably not going to flag it quite at an aggregate level that way. But we will indicate to you, at least in the meeting, were there any sessions for which we could detect issues and what those issues were. That's really important for your help desk role, because Tier 1 help desk, they generally are not experts in voice quality. There's a lot of information that's being captured here. You need to be able to provide them with some insight very quickly to figure out what's going on and see if that can either address the issue right there, in this case, the dropped call. As you can see, Heidi here had a dropped call, and she very quickly reestablished the session, and looks like once that happened, things were fine. And if there was any issue, we can actually have a look at what the system is flagging as factors to look at. In this case, we see that there was some maximum jitter of a value that may be a little bit higher than we would say is indicative of consistently good calls, but it may not have been happening for very long, which is why it's only flagged as yellow, and you'll notice that the stream itself was not flagged as an issue. The point being, though, that we're easily able to show you all of this information in one tool and at a glance, so I can also look at the trace route information to see which hops this call progressed through and what information it was able to show about what the round trip times were, which of the round trips looked like they were above a minimum threshold, but not quite into a red zone yet. The other thing to see is that because we deployed that site map, we can tell where she was when she made this call, in this case in Bellevue in Seattle, which is where our Skype for Business office is. So all of that available through the same raw information, which is the CDR and QoE information. But what we've done was we've made sure that it's segmented by customer, that it's compliance bounded, that only you as a customer get to see the personally identifiable information. Microsoft does not. Other tenants, of course, do not see each other's information. And a lot of work in making sure that that data is segmented as well as accessible for what you need it for. So that's an example of call analytics and advanced analytics and how you can see all of that usage information. Does that look like something that's useful for you in your deployments and areas that you'd be interested in? Okay, I'll take a few yeses there. You may have to scream quite loudly because we've got a ton of space to spread out here. This is a great venue, but yeah. Do look out for that coming in preview and then generally available by mid-year is our aim. What we've also done while we've worked on that, if your question is, what can I do now? We have provided session detail information in the Skype for Business Admin Center for a while, pretty much since last quarter of last year. And you can have a look at all of the session details for an user, in this case me, over the last week, so that you can see for each of these similar information to what I presented just now, what the session was, who it was to, what media lines were negotiated, what audio streams we had in each direction, and what the statistics were for each of those. And what I'm showing you here is actually information that we aggregate for providing for call quality dashboard as well. The point being that no matter whether you want to look at the information in our visualization in our portals, or you want to get this information in more of a raw form, or you want to be able to export it to Excel so that you can do whatever else you need with it, very much the focus is on making all of the information available as you need it, when you need it, for whatever purposes you may be having, and they do vary by scenario. So that's the call detail, the session details information. And what we did do, because any IT admin worth their salt must have something available in PowerShell, is we've also provided a PowerShell commandlet for that that's also been available over the second half of last year. And what I've done here is I've just read into a variable because it's easier. I don't have to worry about PowerShell session timeouts, but the commandlet is get CS user session for myself from today, going back 2,000 minutes, get all of the sessions for that user, and specifically with a QoE report, which is a field that we have in the session details information, is not null. That's going to give me all of the information for which there was actually audio or video. What I can do with that then is, because I've read it into this variable, is I should just be able to, because this is PowerShell, look at all of that information. I should be able to find out, for example, just the QoE report. I should be able to just look up a particular field in the QoE report, for example, audio streams. So PowerShell, something we're all familiar with as admins, very powerful, very familiar, not only lets you do this by command line, which is interesting, but lets you script all of this information so that you can extract it into whatever reporting you need based on whatever scenarios you are important to you. So not only relying on what we make available, but as we all know, you'll each have your own needs. Every customer has slightly different requirements. You want to be able to get flexible access to that information, and that's what the PowerShell interface is for. Great, so if I can switch back to the main slides now, that was giving you visualization and access to call detail information. And as I mentioned, the other key scenario is how to proactively manage call quality. So call quality dashboard is the tool we have for that, and the focus there is on finding the systemic and infrastructure issues that relate to call quality, not waiting for a user to call help desk, also not having to take an individual call to go and troubleshoot an issue, because that's not a particularly helpful flow. It's often the case that if a user has an issue on a site, there may be many other users who have the same issue. And if you're chasing that down from purely the help desk perspective, you may be going down paths that don't lead you there directly. Whereas if you're proactively managing call quality, in addition, you might find this trend before it even happens, before a user at that site picks up a call. So the focus is on finding those systemic issues, aggregated information that is scrubbed of PII, as I mentioned, so you don't have to have as much concern about who is seeing it, and being able to pivot by location, scenario, network type, etc. You can almost think of it as a mirror image of what I showed you in the call usage detail screens there, to be able to do those pivots as well. But targeted at more of what we call a voice expert, who is doing more investigative type work, who may have some canned or common reports, but is going to want to do slices and dices of that information to see where it's leading them. So it's very customizable interface, which will enable drill down on any of the 225 dimensions and 90 measures that we collect for call quality and reliability through the CDR, CER, call error reporting, and QoE information. And what we've added to it recently is the location enhanced reports that I'll show you in a bit as well. So if I can switch back to the demo machine, call quality dashboard. Firstly, just by show of hands, how many of you have seen this already, have seen or used call quality dashboard? That's great. A few of you, and others encourage you to take a look. And this is call quality dashboard online. A focus that we've had was making sure that we bring this information to all of our online customers, because CQD already exists for on-premise. But increasingly, we'll be unifying the tool set in the online arena. So what we can do, call quality dashboard, because it's more focused on what we call the voice expert, and by voice I mean video as well, where the view taken is what goes on with the stream is as important, if not more important, than whether that stream was a voice stream or a video stream in aggregate. And this is one difference between call quality dashboard and call usage information is looking at the scenario that they're focused on. But we can see usage over the last few months, how many calls were rated good, how many were rated poor, and how many were unclassified. Unclassified being if we didn't have enough information to determine whether that was a good or a poor call, we'll call it unclassified. And overlaying that, we could map the poor call percentage, because poor call rate, PCR, is a key measure that voice experts use to manage call quality. So, you know, there's an audio streams monthly trend, daily trend, client to client, so this is calls that went between clients, think of those as peer-to-peer calls, monthly and daily, and what we call server to client, which is calls that would have gone to either a conferencing server, which these are online meetings, or would have gone to PSTN through the mediation server. So those are really the three scenarios that would show up here, and you can see how call rate and poor call rate varies by each. So being able to have those on a dashboard so that they're easily visible, think about that as your first port of call so that you can easily see what's going on. But then being able to drill in, as I mentioned, to server to client, because one of the first things that we would do is, as the voice expert, and that's interesting, said failed to communicate with service. Okay, this is a good demo glitch. Let's see if anything else is working here. Okay, we seem to have an issue with the call detail, call quality dashboard right now. So what I will do is just quickly try and reload it. If it doesn't reload, I'll move on. And I may have some screenshots here that I can show you what CQD does. So you need to sign in. I'll sign in. But what you will see is if we're able to access those pages, we've sliced and diced that information, as I mentioned, based on all of those measures. And that'll help you see, there you go, server to client, what the trend is like that way. Actually, we've seen quite a good decrease in poor call rate because we've had a focus even within the Microsoft deployment. Our voice experts are systemically chasing down every issue, trying to tune the network, because that's where they mainly are, figuring out what's going on where, making sure that they are optimized, making sure your QoS queues are accurately set up and drained effectively, making sure that the sites are provisioned with the right priority, with the right bandwidth, and so on. And you can see as an example how that's helped us drive our poor call rate down from 1.7% to 0.5% over the six-month period. And this is a critical tool that we've used to be able to see that. Again, daily trends as well, so you can see how that has changed. And then we also have reports by subnet. So you can see if you did have to chase down an issue, and this is what we've done. We've said, okay, if you see an aggregate poor call rate, how do you figure out where it's happening and who's most affected? You could go and see by subnet what the good calls, and poor call rate is by subnet, and you'd see here that there are some subnets that have worse poor call rates than others. And that's one of the key views that we use to drive this information and to be able to drive down those rates so that we can actually see, and we measure this, we actually see our end user satisfaction goes up almost in linear correlation to how we're able to affect poor call rate. Similarly, for client to client, you're able to see the same views and a similar type of exercise as to how we manage that. And then I mentioned we have location enhanced reports. So by uploading a sitemap into CQD, you're able to figure out on which subnets this happens. And we can filter by, I'll go to Building 10 again. And if I was the service manager for Building 10, here would be all of my statistics that I can see. What's been going on by network segment, whether it's wired, client to server, client to client, and so on, what the statistics are for volume, poor call rate, and so on. So location enhanced reports is very key for that. And we can also have a look at buildings, whether they are wired, whether calls are over the wired network, and you can see the volumes and percentage rates there. Whether they're over the Wi-Fi network, again, you'd see that the poor call rate for Wi-Fi is higher than wired, and that's what we would expect. So a view of call quality dashboard, and you're also able to customize your own reports, as I mentioned, depending on what particular investigation you're running, to be able to choose your own reports and customize them as you need to. We have that ability in the detailed reports here. So does that look like something that you would use, is helpful to you in managing voice? Does that fit in with workflows that you currently have? Just by show of hands, how many of you haven't yet used it? Great. By all means, encourage you to look at call quality dashboard. As I mentioned, you can very easily customize reports. So I can say, let's have a look at the total stream count that the media succeeded, setup succeeded. Let's have a look at the dropped calls and just use a default poor. We use pink for that for some reason. And then let's look at the call setup failure percentage just for fun. On the right-hand side, customize it, use a line chart, show it as a different color just so that it looks different. And I should be able to save that. And this is an example of how you can, let me change the trend to 6 months so that looks more interesting. That's an example of how you can create your own custom report. If that was an interesting report or a worthwhile one, not necessarily, but just showing you how easy it is to look at all of these measures and dimensions and create the reports that you need for the dashboard that you for whatever dashboards you need to manage your service. Great, so that concludes a lot of the demo side of call quality details. As you can see, it's a very data-rich area. Being able to get the data is only half the challenge. Being able to do something with it is really where the payoff happens. So if I can switch back to the slides, that was CQD and call analytics. And because I showed you a lot of tools there, a natural question is, what should you use when? Call analytics, as I mentioned, is useful for help desk and call troubleshooting. Usage reporting that I showed up front as well is good for, think of it as management type insight reporting by workload, whether it's calls, meetings, or whatever workloads we have. The PowerShell user session commandlet is used for scripting interface to get call data, not only to see it in a command line, but also to be able to import it into other tools so that you can merge it with your own reporting tools and whatever else you're doing that is not provided natively in Skype for Business, because there are a lot of such tools like that. Session details report lets you view that in our admin portal, and call quality dashboard lets you do systemic call quality investigations, monitor service, manage service, and so on. So a whole suite of tools across the full scenario of anyone who is dealing with a topic of call usage, call quality, and how to manage it. We've also added improvements in the reporting area in general. In the Office 365 admin portal showing Skype as a workload so that you can run reports on how your Skype usage is going in the same way that you do for looking at Exchange and SharePoint. I invite you to look at the Office 365 admin center to see those. But we're also providing programmatic access through the MS Graph API. So more than a particular service manager for Skype for Business who has more domain expertise, if you're an Office 365 admin at a more cross-workload level and you want to see how these workloads are comparing with each other, we provide Skype for Business information there at a much more aggregated level as well. So that's all on the reporting side, and as you can see, a lot of our focus has been on call usage, call quality, because that is such a critical workload for online, as well as on-prem, of course. It's just that in on-premise, you already have access to the data. In online, the main effort that we made was to make sure that you can get access to this data. What we will be doing is being able to allow you to upload on-premise data, as long as you're licensed appropriately, into that same service that I showed you. And a lot of our investments that we are making will be in that online service that I showed, but we will have a focus of allowing you to get your on-premise data into a unified reporting service. So that was on the managed side, if you like. In the delivery area, there's been a lot of work in supporting multi-factor authentication, because this is something that's used across Office 365, and as admin, something that you want for security reasons, as well as all of the custom policy management that I talked about for conferencing, client, and mobility policies, supporting the help desk role. So when I showed you call analytics, the reason I was able to see that was because I had a help desk access. And what you can do is control whether your help desk can see from information to information or only from information, whether they get to see dialed numbers or not, all controllable based on what role you assign them. So that's the help desk role, RBAC. And then multi-regional support for regionally hosted meetings, starting with that as a workload, but increasingly being able to support multi-regional deployments. We're working on shipping that in the first half of this year as well, so that if you are a global company, as we talked about, if your users are mainly meeting in Australia and talking to some in America, you don't have to round-trip all of that traffic from one conferencing server to another. You can make sure that you do barbelling, that you do bypass as needed to efficiently manage that traffic. So one, that is not all going back to the cloud and back, but that it's going to the right data center in the cloud, and that users who are traveling are not having a degraded experience because all of their data is going halfway around the world before coming back to them and then going into the conference. So the flexibility of configuration, as I mentioned, something that's important, being able to have ability to control policies and settings assigned to those policies. An example that I'll show you here in screenshots without going through the PowerShell demo is, having started up a Skype PowerShell session, be able to create a new custom conference policy. Let's say I was such a customer who wanted to say that app sharing is disabled because we don't want our users to share, do application sharing with external parties for whatever reason. This is something that in some cases does happen with financial companies. In other cases, they actually have the exact reverse. They don't want to do app sharing internally, but they do want to do it externally because they want their customers to be able to see what they're showing. But either way, rather than having us come up with a cooked policy for each and every tenant, we've enabled custom conference policies so that each and every tenant customer can choose their own. And this is an example of setting such a CS conference policy. If you could read the enable app sharing command that's somewhere in the middle there, you'd see that it's set to false. The same thing's available for client policies. If you wanted to, for whatever reason, say that somebody could not set a presence note or could not set emoticons, as you can mention, those are just two of the settings in this policy, but all of them that are applicable are customizable through custom client policy. And similarly for mobility, a common thing that customers will want to do is to say that unless you're on Wi-Fi, you don't want to be enabling video because that will be chewing up cost, chewing up bandwidth and so on. So you only want to make sure that that's enabled for Wi-Fi. And the mobility policy, which is a new policy that we've introduced, as you can see, has far fewer settings, but each of them are controllable through custom policy. And then assigning them to the online user is very similar if you're familiar in the on-premise world. The commandlets will look very familiar here. Same in the online world through the what we call the CAN policies today. This is just being able to do them through custom policy. You can grant the policy, CS conferencing policy, with the name that you gave it to a user by that identity, and you'll see that they get it that way. You can assign the client and mobility policies in the same way. Again, very familiar commandlet structure as to how you do that, so this is very learnable for admins who may not have done it before but do know PowerShell. And then you can view them by doing a get CS online user and deciding which particular settings you want to view. In this case, we've chosen to see for the user and their display name, what conferencing policy they're using, what client policy they're using, and what mobility policy. And the key here is it gives you the flexibility to choose policies that make sense to you in your organization without having to fit them into a set menu of ones that are available for the whole online world. You can still use those if you want to, but if you have any particular reason why you need to customize, this is what custom conference policy helps enable. I talked about the help desk role. That's something that you can set for a user who's an administrator, as long as you check that your Skype for Business admin is or isn't a password admin, service admin supports the help desk. That's where you go to set it. And that gives you an overview of a lot of the investments that we've made in reporting as well as configuration. So just by show of hands, does that look like something that's applicable to where you are now, where you're looking to go in managing Skype for Business? Great. There's, of course, a lot more that we're working on, but wanted to give you an overview of some of the key areas where we are in the product lifecycle, either in ones that we've just released or ones that we're about to. Another area that's equally important is the partners that we work with, because in Skype for Business, as you can see, a lot of what we focused on is service information that is applicable to any customer, but there are a lot of partners that we work with that provide domain-specific expertise, such as in the network, and also in areas like helping migration. So we have an IT Pro Tools partner program where we work with a handful of key partners, not a lot. This is a depth program, not a breadth program, who have expertise to work with us in deploying and managing Skype for Business across that lifecycle that I showed. We chose them because customers use them today. They're customer trusted. They have deep expertise in some workloads that are important to us for Skype for Business. So you won't find somebody who is focused in Exchange saying, I want to add some add-on for Skype for Business. We will focus very much on those who already have that expertise. And they have breadth in the voice and video workloads. So they are focused in what we call our high-value workloads, some of our more complex workloads, and they have that expertise. We have specific categories and partners. In those categories, they're evaluated by our team and tested and certified by our testing house so that you as a customer can see who we have certified. And examples of partners that we have are listed on the bottom there. So we have certification for on-premise across the life cycle. That's the way we think about it very much. Those are the categories. Nectar has the Perspective product that's been certified for a while. We're in progress with Ixia there. In the deliver phase, we have Unify Square, who have PowerSuite, a tool that works across the life cycle, but we've certified it in a few categories. And then Unimax recently come on board to help with migration. In the operate phase, IR Prognosis for Unified Communication, Event Zero, local company in Brisbane, actually. Nectar Perspective as well, and we're in progress with Exinda. And in the optimize phase, again, Nectar Perspective has tools there, as well as Dell UC Command Suite, which we recently certified. So you can see there, without that being a breadth program, there is a range of options for you, depending on what you're looking at partner to help you augment your Skype for Business deployment. And we're doing the same for online as well. Because we have started online recently, you can see that we're busy filling out the grid of what partners are available when. And we focused very much on the firstly, the planning phase to be able to onboard, and the deliver phase to be able to migrate. So in the deliver phase, that's where we have a partner called Unimax. I'll show you their screenshots. Which helps you, if you're migrating from Avaya or WebEx or even Skype for Business Online, they will help you take whatever policies those users have, give you the equivalent in Skype for Business, figure out if there are any gaps, so that you can do a migration without having to manually figure out an Avaya user using the Avaya product suite in the following way, what policies do we need for Skype for Business? This will help you with that migration, because we're seeing increasingly that is a critical motion that customers are going through, is as their current infrastructures are depreciated or amortizing, whether the vendor is still in business or not, whether it's Avaya or whether it's Cisco Call Manager that they may want to be moving off, being able to figure out how to migrate is critical, and having tools that can help you is an area that we have a focus in making sure that we have partners for doing that. So that's in the migration area. The other area that's equally important is in being able to set up and plan and deliver your voice services, your meeting services, being able to do network assessments and to figure out what you need to do to make sure your network is ready, optimized, and tuned. And I'm delighted to welcome Tom Tuttle, who's the Microsoft Practice Leader for Nectar, to show us the Nectar Perspective tool, which is in certification as we speak and should complete quite soon. So, Tom, thank you.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Anton. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to be here and always get an opportunity to talk in front of customers. And I'm going to throw it right out there. I'm sorry to say I'm not from Australia, in case you couldn't tell. But it's been a great week. Anytime you get a chance to spend time with customers, potential partners, and talk about Skype and the UC practices and where this market's going, it's always very exciting. So as Anton said, planning and assessment are so critical, and we find this day in and day out in our conversations, because quite often we find that it's a couple of the areas that are least invested in, or the time is not invested on the front end, and it will pay dividends if you spend and invest the time and effort up front on that. And so today I'm going to talk about our advanced assessment program and our product. It's called Perspective. And what Perspective has the ability to do is generate synthetic traffic. And so what it's agnostic of the environment that you're running. So prior to actually deploying, it gives you the opportunity to send that traffic either from your data center up to the Azure cloud or between locations to make sure that the network is in fact ready when the time you actually convert. As I said, it measures what you might expect it to. It measures MOS, round-trip delay, jitter, packet loss, and so on. But it also does QoS validation. And it's something that oftentimes is a big red flag and will actually show you something before you actually experience a major problem. So it'll validate that, in fact, that tags are not being stripped. It also does a trace route. And the way in which we sort of look at it from that advanced perspective is Microsoft has set up a number of measurements, thresholds, that they view as being passable for being able to interact with the cloud. And they've done that in a couple different fashions. For us, we measure it from a client location, a specific location, up to the nearest Azure region, or from the client edge up to that same region. So there's thresholds on that. And so after you run a test for a period of time, and oftentimes we suggest anywhere from 2 weeks to up to 30 days is usually enough indication of what's going on, and you run that around the clock, and it gives you a good indication of whether or not you're Skype ready. It also then has the ability, we run this through a number of programs from a partner perspective. We have a number of global partners that are in fact certified to use the product to actually understand and interpret the data. And so they have a controller or a collector in their data center, which then is setting up these tests and have the ability to quickly pop up the software agent at a location, and as well as up in the Azure region. And what you do is they'll create these different tests, whether it's a hub and spoke test or a fully mesh test. We always recommend that you run both types of tests, because what happens is you will get different readings in both those different tests, and you can find out the dynamics of your network. So let me just pop over here and we'll take a look at the... So this is a test that I started up earlier this week, and this happens to be an Azure node within the Skype for Business online arena, as well as three locations. And what you're looking at here is sort of this point-to-point test. And we're going to take a look at one of these locations. We're going to see Boston's interaction with the Azure node that has been established. So when I click on that, it's going to come back and it's going to give me what that call is doing at this time. So let me pop this out a little broader here. And what I'm looking at here is a call, and this is our RTP traffic that's being sent. And every 5 seconds, I'm getting an update as to the progression of this call. It's measuring MOS, it's measuring round trip delay, and so on, as we talked about earlier. And so I can look at this call as it's ongoing. I also have the ability to look at the traceroute up here, so I know the path and the different points that it's passing through from both source to destination and then back. So I see that both ways. So I can quickly see if I have a major gap or something that starts to crater, if I have an issue that I need to go investigate further. The other thing that I have the ability to do is very quickly establish another path or another test if I wanted to. So I could go down here into the perspective module and look at sessions, and I could quickly go in here and add another test. So I would go into this interface here as it's loading. It's an Azure test that I'm running, and I can go in here and quickly identify which locations I want to pick, the to and the from. I can pick various codecs that I want to possibly emulate. I can schedule that at a particular time of day or send multiple calls at a specific time as well. And so what that gives me the ability to do is to start to test and stress the network a little bit to make sure that, in fact, again, I'm ready for deployment. So now once I've done this and had this test and I'm running it over a period of time, now I want to look at what's happened over the course of that test. So I'm going to go over to some of the advanced analytics reports that I have for this. And right away for this particular test, I've been running it just for a couple days this week that I established. And in the three locations where I'm running this, from the data center, from my New York office, and from my Boston office, I can see for the most part I've had really good call quality for the most part. But I'm having an issue here from the data center to that Azure node. So what I might look at is I might look at the overall summary here. And that overall summary might give me a peek at a chance to log back in, of course. I had a feeling that my security guard would not let me back in here if it sat there too long. My apologies. And so what I'm able to do in this particular module is I'm able to kind of drill down into a lot of different ways. I can kind of slice and dice this data, much to what Anton was showing as well, to be able to look at different things. So in this particular case, and I'm going to look at my overall summary page, and I'm going to see that very quickly that I've got a certain number of poor calls, poor sessions that I'm actually testing and finding. And I measure both the number of calls as well as the amount of time. And in this case, I see there's about 5%. Well, that's overall between all three locations. But I'm kind of curious as to, is that for, I know that I'm having a particular issue in that one location, and that is Boston. So we're going to drill down into that a little further from the data center there that's near Boston area, actually. And when I click into that, and then I look at the summary, now I can see that it's really the predominant driver behind the large number of poor calls. You'll see here that about 17% of those have been poor calls. So now I'm interested as to, what's possibly the reason behind that? And I can start to look at where the worst calls are happening, what particular days of the week under the quality of calendar, is there a particular time? I can look at histograms that'll kind of give me some more detail around the average delay, the average MOS, and what's happening over the course of that time. Like I said, I started this test on Tuesday, so it's actually my call quality is getting worse over that period of time. I also can look at the hourly grid. And the reason the hourly grid was established was because the time of day is very important. We had a great example of this. We have one of our key partners, Modality Systems, uses this, and they were running this for a large healthcare organization, had 70 locations. And they ran both a hub and spoke and a fully mesh test. And in the hub and spoke test, they started to see dramatic call quality degradation between the hours of 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday of three consecutive weeks. So they started to drill in a little further, and they found that by using this hourly grid. And what they found, and the reason for that was that between those hours on that particular day, there were several locations that would start to send high-res images back and forth to the data center. So you can imagine what the call quality would have been had they just gone forward without an assessment, and now users were starting to use it day in and day out, and for that period of time, they would have experienced that poor call quality. So that's why we allow the ability to kind of look at this data in a number of different ways. You also have the ability, as I mentioned earlier, to look at the DSCP tags, so you can quickly see in any location that you have, you can see what you've configured from that perspective and whether or not those tags are being actually adhered to. So in this one, we can quickly see that they aren't, and so that the QoS either has been set, but it's not being adhered to, and is going to ultimately impact the user performance. So very quickly, that is just a quick snapshot into what we do from an advanced assessment perspective. Happy to talk more about it. If you were in stand 22, if you get an opportunity, stop by and say hello. Okay. Anton?
Thanks, Tom. Mm-hmm. We'll just switch back to main slides. We're actually at the end of the session now, so just a quick recap because we did cover a lot of ground. I hope you saw our approach to IT Pro, the way we think about it holistically, what we've done in the product that matches that approach, the call quality and usage, policy, and then the Tools Partner Program and how important that is. So with that, I want to thank you for your time. Hope you found this to be a useful session. And if there are any questions, please let us know. We've got a few minutes for Q&A. So thank you very much for those of you heading out. Otherwise, for anyone, questions, please. Thank you. Okay, over here first. I think you in the third row. Question is for the CDR reports and so on. If you're using Cloud Connector Edition, will you get those? We are working that into the product as well. We're starting with online to begin with, but the CCAE does send the CDR data, so you will get that. Any other questions? Shout out if I can't see you. Yeah, over there. PSTN calling for Australia. I think there was a session the other day by Justin Morris from Modality. I don't know if you went to that one. He talked about that. I know that's something we're looking at this year. I don't have a specific date within the year that that's happening. Sorry. Yes, over here, fourth row. Reporting, question is reporting for live calls. What I showed you there is you can actually see call detail within about a minute of it happening. So if there is an ongoing call, you'll start to see some of that detail. Now, we send most of our information at the end of call. That's where we send our end of call CDR and QOE reports. But we do send mid-call QOE for applicable clients, so you will be able to see that as it happens. I don't know if there's a question to the right here, if that person's already left. Otherwise, any others? Again, sorry, before you go, just over there. So are any of these features coming to on-premise only? Our focus is making sure that the online tool is the place that you go to get all of this, and what we'd rather be doing is allowing you to provide your on-premise data to that tool so that you can see it. This helps us make sure that we have one consistent investment that's easier for us to deliver value on. So the path that we would have is we will make available ways for you to connect your on-premise data to that environment. This year as well, working on this year, can't say exactly as to when it will release, but that is definitely work in progress. You did have a second question. Yeah. Question is, on network assessment, does Microsoft have its own plans to release our own tools? We did, short of that network assessment tool that I show, that I talked about earlier, which gives you very rudimentary assessment of round-trip time, latency, jitter, etc., that in fact some of our partners integrate into theirs. The partners are the ones who have all of that expertise and know about actual individual network nodes and in some cases can actually manage the equipment more directly ourselves. So that's something that we really do think we have a stronger offering working with partners than anything we may come up with. That the free tool that works with Office 365, that's the network assessment tool I was talking about. Yeah, thank you. Yes, over here. Question was, in the roadmap, anything about syncing chat between the clients? We do already support roaming conversation history. I guess this may depend on what version of Exchange you're using. That has been released for quite some time. I guess the question may be if you're using Exchange on-premise, I believe that doesn't roam just yet. But if you're using Exchange online, it does. Any questions in the whatever the second section is there? I'm just looking around. Okay, over here we've got a few. Him first. Thank you. Question is a roadmap around investments in on-premise or online. So we very much see that the so-called move to cloud is real and happening. So that would naturally say that we are investing in online. What's equally true is that the time frame that every customer is moving to online is different. So what you're seeing us do is firstly building the capability, and then we will, related to the other gentleman's question, we will provide abilities for you to connect your data to that service. So that's the way to think about on-prem versus online. It's not so much that you have to be one or the other, but that we want to make a single investment that you can use across all your topologies. Starting with online is the sweet spot, but the hybrid deployments, CCE is an example of that. Being able to connect your on-premise data to the service is another example of that. Cloud added workloads like meeting recording and meeting broadcast are examples of how on-premise customers can take advantage of workloads in the cloud. So think about it that way. In front there. The cost of the online recording tool. Oh, the reporting tool is included in your E3, E5 subscription. It'll show you the most value if you are using E5 because those workloads are E5 workloads, but will work for E3 as well. Did you have a question in front? Or okay? Yes. Custom policies, are they in service in roadmap? What I showed you there, those screenshots, are in service and were released a couple of weeks back, actually. We're just doing the write-up of the documentation, but if you have your tenant, go ahead and try them out already. Is there a question back there? Yeah, white shirt. Right. Yeah. Yeah, question is like functionality like call queues, will that show up in reporting? So the raw call itself will already do that. You just won't know that it's a call queue or not, and we will add markers on top of that to be able to filter by call queues. I can't give you an exact time frame of when, because we're first shipping the call queue feature, but think that that very much is a roadmap direction. Okay. All right, well, thanks very much. Thank you for sticking around. Hope you found it useful, and enjoy the rest of Ignite. Thank you.